I guess at this time I'll go ahead with my message to you. And my scripture reading is in two different places, but the first is Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2. So let's turn there. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then let's skip over to James 2 and verse 24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on this message and let it to help each one that hears, no matter where they are and how they are listening to this message. We ask that you anoint their ears to hear the things that you would have them to hear and understand. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And today my title of my message, and I had a little bit of trouble with deciding on a title, but I guess I came up with Watching Winners as the title of my message to you. And it you'll see as I go on in the message, you'll see how it is pertinent a title be that, but yet I somehow have a little bit of difficulty in using the word winners. But we are winners as we respond to God and as we try to stay in His Word and we try to seek out the truth and we try to abide in that truth and do the truth. Then we are winners. And as if the Apostle Paul, when he speaks in his parts of his letters, he speaks of that we're in a race. We're in a race, and we're in a race that is all important. It's a race for life. And we're not talking about life in a natural sense, but we are in a race for our life. Everlasting, our life eternally is the race that we're in. And Paul is talking about and describing life as living our life as being in that race, and that we should try to prepare ourselves in every sense that we know how to do so that we will be winners in this race that we're in. In this chapter in the book of Hebrews, we want to be aware that there are three thrilling faith chapters that is in this book of Hebrews. And in chapter 10, when you read that, it's supposed to be saying basically that we are saved by faith. But we want to qualify that. We have to qualify that. But we are basically saved by faith. And as far as that statement goes, that's true. I would like to look at that chapter 10, and if Dawson can get it, I would like to go to chapter 10 of Hebrews and verse 19, start at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, we're going through verse 25, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And look at this verse 24. I want you to think about this deeply. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Before I go to the next verse, let's read this again. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see how important that is? It's saying, yes, we should have faith, but we should also have faith to the extent that it brings about love. And love to the extent that we stimulate, we are stimulated, and even by living with each other and worshiping with each other, stimulating to good deeds. Are good deeds important? Yes, they are. Is good works important? Yes, it is. And then you have chapter 11. And the important foundational thing about chapter 11 in Hebrews is that it lists the different ones that have went on before that lived the life of faith, starting with Father Abraham and going on, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and on, living, listing the lives of these that lived by faith. And then in chapter 12 of Hebrews, explains how to live the life of faith. And I want us to hit a few verses there. In chapter 11, let's look at verse 1 and 2. Chapter 11, Hebrews. Now faith is, the definition of faith, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Can you be convinced and convicted that something is true even though you can't see, feel, or touch it? Yes, you can. And God brings this about. For by it, the men of old gained approval. Those are the ones that it's speaking of, men and women of old, that it speaks of in chapter 11. People that lived the life of faith. We are, in essence, in the most important race of our lives. It's a race that's going to determine whether we are forever separated from our loved ones and forever separated from our Creator and our Savior. Whether or not we live with or forever separated from our Savior Yeshua and our Creator and loving Father, Yahweh. But how can we win this race? How can we live our life such that at the end of our life, we are judged worthy. I would like to look at Romans 3:28. Romans 3:28. And these are just scriptures. In the message, Watching Winners, and seeing their lives and how they lived them and how they were judged worthy. And in Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. If you took that verse alone without considering the whole of God's word, you might get a distorted view what that particular verse means. And then we skip down to verse 31. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And then verse 31, do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. The Apostle Paul, even after he makes that statement in that verse that we read, he qualifies it with this verse in Romans 3:31. Do we nullify? Or do we change? Do we do away with the law through faith? And the Apostle Paul says, may it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. And then I'd like to go to Romans 7:12. We are looking at the qualities that the life that is lived for God will have, and how that will lead to running this race and being a winner. Romans 7:12. So then, the Apostle Paul says, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. And that verse alone should let you know that you should take all of the words of Paul, specifically if you're going to look at just one verse at a time, with a lot of space between the next time you look at some of his words, you need to look at the words of Apostle Paul carefully, because he concludes the law is holy, regardless of how those verses may tend to lead you. Then the conclusion is that the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. We must look around us and getting these qualities of winners, these ones that live their life in faith and were judged worthy. We must look at how they live their life, what they believe, their walk with God, their conversations with God. And we are all in a great arena as if we were in an arena running a race, and all the eyes of people by mass media, all the eyes of not only those in the arena but around the world, are watching us, and they're seeing how we run the race. Godly people have always been under scrutiny. Consider that Noah was judged by God to be a righteous man, and he and his family was judged out of all the people on the earth at that time. They were the only ones judged as being righteous enough to be saved. So Noah was watched. And he was not only watched, he was heard, because He tried to preach to the people around him, the community, the country that he was in. He tried to influence the ones as to what God was talking to him about and dealing with him to do, to prepare, to be saved. He was watched as he built the ark, but he preached. And in that 100 years that he preached, not one person repented of what they were doing. Not one person heard his message and decided to change their ways, that they were on the wrong path. Isn't that something? Should that encourage you or not? When you think about your walk with God, when you think about your church and what its effect seems to be on the people around and the community and the state. How do we judge the work of our church? Noah preached for 100 years and not one person accepted his message and was saved as a result of that. Abraham was watched when he headed for Canaan. When God called him out of that land that he was in, his homeland, and told him to go to Canaan, Abraham was watched. What about Job? Job was not only watched by the people around him, but Job evidently, there was the eyes of God upon Job and everything that he did. But there was also the eyes of Satan that was on Job. And Satan went to God and said, Job is serving you. And Job is a good man because you have blessed him. You put a hedge of protection around him. I tell you what, we should want that hedge of protection around us as we live our life. So Job was watched by many around him as he lived his life. And as his wife told him when she looked upon him with sores all over his body and he was afflicted in a most horrible and painful way, Job's wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And what was Job's reply to her? "You foolish woman. I will never turn my back on God. I will never turn my back on the one who loves me and saves me." And even though he may not have knew it precisely, protected him, had a hedge of protection, even against Satan himself, on his life. Moses also was watched as he approached Pharaoh by all of the people that was there, not only the Egyptians, but the children of Israel, as God had decided to deliver the children of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And we are also watched to see how we run this race that we're in of faith, the race of our life, and the race for life everlasting, forever and ever. And when we read these first verses of our scripture reading today, it talks about a great cloud of witnesses. And with this great cloud of witnesses that the scripture speaks of in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, then with this crowd of witnesses also comes a great responsibility. How do we respond being under that kind of scrutiny? Many are counting on us, as they did these people of old, to run the race well. Some will enter the race of faith because of how that they see us run. the race that we are in. And some even may choose not to run the race at all. When you considered yourself and how you are running this race that you're in for the most important event of your life and one that will decide your fate for eternity, how do you think that you are running this race? We must look within us to see and try to judge how we're running the race. Whether we're doing pretty good or whether we got quite a bit more that we could do. A winner prepares to win. Winning is no accident. It doesn't just happen without no effort whatsoever. Winners take steps that lead to victory. Runners are slowed by having on the wrong clothes. Some clothes are too heavy. They weigh you down. Some of the people that are in our life are as if weights on our shoulders and in our life. They are weighing us down. They are holding us back. Some of these ones that are in our life, we have to shed some of the dead weight in our life in order to run a better race for God. Winners don't run in heavy clothes, and winners don't carry anything that slows them down. They don't hold on to anything that slows them down because they need to run the best race they can. They need to run fast. And you might ask, what's slowing you down? What's slowing me down in the Christian race? We need to be aware and we need to be willing to lay aside anything that dulls our interest in God. Anything that distracts from our walk with God. Anything that takes up too much of God's time in our life. We need to be able to set it aside, realize it, and lay it aside. Anything that keeps us away from His Word. His Word is the path that we need to walk in. It explains the way. And we need to be able to go to His Word and not be distracted by other things in our life. Lay aside anything that harms our testimony. We need to be able to be a good servant of God. We need to be able to let God work through us, through His Holy Spirit working in us to reach others. Lay aside any things that keeps us out of the church, things that distracts, and things that get us on the path to things outside the church or outside of His Word rather than in the church and in His Word. We must look to Jesus, as Hebrews, that second verse of Hebrews 12 explains. Looking unto Jesus, three words for winners. Always keep Yeshua's name primarily in our memory. Others may let us down, but when we look to Jesus, Jesus never fails what's important in our life. Why look to Jesus? Because through Jesus, we are given His precious gift of the Holy Spirit, which is supernatural power from on high. Power way above your human efforts. Power from God. Why look to Jesus? For encouragement, for consistency. And because the Word of God lets us know that He is our example and we should keep him as our example and our guide in this race and in our life. Let's look at Hebrews 13 and 8. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that consistency? Yes, it is. Jesus Christ is the same. That's why he is in such perfect agreement with the Father, Yahweh. And that's why the Bible describes Yahweh and Yeshua as in so much of such a degree of unity and harmony that it speaks of them as being one. Yes, they are one. They are one in agreement, in harmony and purpose. And all of the major qualities that any of us could have is like the consistency and agreement that is between Yahweh and Yeshua. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And when we look at winners that enter a race and do well, we see that winners always start and end well. And when we look at how they run the what race, we see that winners always give their all throughout the race. The race of faith calls for great endurance. And joy awaits winners at the end of the race. And so I say to you, watch winners. Observe the qualities that they have exhibited in their life with God. And you will see that they have a great degree of faith. And they live their life in faith and hopefully throughout without wavering. And in conclusion, I want to reinforce that you not only live your life in great faith, but you endure to the end in that faith, and that as a result of that faith, you also live your life as a great servant of God, and others are won to him through you. That is your works. They see that your life is different and they want to pattern theirs. They want to see what qualities you have, where you got them, what they are, and then they change in that regard. So faith is all important, but works is also all important. And you need absolutely both of them. So in conclusion, I'm going to read these really good verses in James. Let's go to James 2 and 14. And of course, I've already read the verses that the Apostle Paul wrote that lets us know how important faith is. You are justified by faith without the works of the law, is what the Apostle Paul wrote. But yet, we had qualifiers, and I read them to you. So James 2, 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Let's go to 17. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. That alone is enough that should let you know that you having one without the other is not good enough. Sure enough, you cannot work your way into heaven. It's the Father's decision. It's Yahweh and Yeshua that is looking at your life. And they're going to judge as to whether you win the race, whether you are judged worthy or not. But they're going to judge not only on the faith and the knowledge that you have, but they're going to judge on what the result of that is. What works do you have? So we go down to verse 20. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Then 22. You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of works, faith was perfected. Do you see that? You ought to mark in your Bible that particular verse. Faith was perfected. How was it perfected? Because it resulted in works. Faith without works is dead. It required works for faith to be perfect. And we want perfect faith. Verse 24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Not by faith alone is what you should get out of there. But also the bottom line truth. And then finally, verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Watching winners. Seeing the qualities in the ones that have went on before and was judged to be worthy. If you would, stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you for each one that's here, each one that's listening to this message. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon them and the blessings upon their friends and loved ones. And Heavenly Father, work through each of them to reach those that you would have to be as part of your family. And Heavenly Father, let them come to that point in their life when they stand before you, and when they are judged, they are judge worthy. They are winners in the race of life. They will live with you forever and ever. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, this blessed Sabbath day. And Heavenly Father, let us bring the peace and rest that you would have for us on this particular day. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And I want us to read the blessing of God together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.